Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jed is, you know, someone who's extremely progressive, forward-thinking, honest with himself about the organization. And he's always been at the forefront of our attempts to change and to modernize. So Cubs are getting the benefit of fresh eyes, so to speak.
President of Baseball Operations for the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer.
My job is, you know, to do what I think is the right thing for, you know, the health of this franchise. And, you know, I want to make sure that we can build, you know, that next great Cubs team.
One of the architects of the 2016 World Series champions, Chicago Cubs.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer, building and talking Chicago Cubs baseball with Mully and Haw.
Because I have utmost trust in those guys, starting with Jed, of course, from the top.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's opening day. Mully and Haw, Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are time now to go to our guest hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, where we find the Cubs team president, Jed Hoyer. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us today. Looks like it's going to be a nice day, a cold day, but how would you compare it weather-wise to other opening days that you've experienced here in Chicago?
This is pretty good. You know what? It looks like it's going to be somewhat chilly, but it doesn't look terrible. It doesn't look uncomfortable. So I think we're still in March. I think we'll take not too uncomfortable as a positive.
I think we'll take that. I think we'll take the snow that came yesterday. As long as it's not today, that's okay. It's acceptable. We can live with that. All right, Jed, we got a lot to get to. Let's start with, I really found interesting your interview in the Chicago Tribune, where you said this, and it kind of stood out to me. That right now, as you approach the 2023 season, after a really busy, active, productive offseason, you're on the front edge of where we want to be. What does that mean in terms of expectations for this year? Because I think a lot of people want to know, is this a year that the expectation is to make the playoffs?
I think that's certainly the hope going in. I mean, as I'm driving in today, certainly it's the start of a marathon. But I certainly, you know, the hope is that we're able to compete. But I think the reason I say sort of the front edge is that, you know, I feel really great about where we are as a team, as a group. I think that in terms of pieces that we control long term, and in terms of where we are as a minor league system, both in terms of the quality of coaches and also in quality of the players we have up and down the system, I feel like as an organization, I think we're really healthy right now and in a really good place. And I think that like those flowers and those trees are going to start to sprout out of the ground. And I feel really great about that. So I think we're on the front edge of getting back to, you know, kind of where we were starting in 2015. Now, I think I've said a number of times, 2015 was unexpected and incredibly special. And, you know, I think always talking about the front edge being like 2015 is really difficult, but I do have really high hopes for the season. I have really high hopes for the organization.
And part of securing that future included the move that was made official last night. Nico Hoerner signs a 3-year contract extension. And, Jed, from an outside perspective, it looks like it's one of those deals that is good for both sides. You have the benefit of, you know, buying out some arbitration years and 1 year of free agency. He has the benefit of some financial security for a guy that, frankly, you know, has only played one full season. So was that how do you view that deal, and how difficult was it to get done?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's such an easy guy to want to invest in. He's just A++ makeup. You know, he's just a great kid, super driven, loves baseball, does everything he can to get better every day. I mean, everything, he's sort of everything you want when you draft a kid. And I did not want any way to not have him here. We talked about so many different structures. I mean, that was actually a really long negotiation, and certainly it was made more difficult by his career arc. He's had some injuries. We brought him up to the big leagues too early because we were desperate for a shortstop in 2019. Then COVID hit and had the weird season where he probably would have played the whole year in the minors had there been a season, but there wasn't a season to play in. And so his career has been as strange in terms of a career arc as you can imagine. And so it probably made things a little bit more difficult to find the right structure, but I'm really glad we did. And I certainly hope he's a Cub for a long, long time because he's sort of everything you want in a person to represent the organization. And I love how he plays.
No doubt about it. I think it's easy to understand why the Cubs would want to invest in him. It's been easy to see why there's been such a he's been so dependable so early in his career. But Jed, I know you may not look at it this way, but from the outside, obviously. So now it's like, okay, now you got Horner done. What about Happ? And the questions start to come for Ian Happ and maybe for you later today. Ian did not shut the door on negotiating a contract extension during the season. I know that you may have your policy, but is that a possibility, or is it now, hey, once they throw the first pitch, this is baseball from here on out?
Well, I would say this. It's not really our policy. I always think that for the most part, I think that when people talk about not negotiating after opening day, it's actually more of a player-driven thing. I think they want to be really focused and not think about it. And, you know, from our standpoint, I mean, I don't have to hit any fastballs. And so I don't, you know, I think to myself, if that's a distraction they can handle, then that's okay. So as a rule, that's more of a player driven policy than our policy. I struggle with it, this whole concept of talking about negotiations publicly, because I do think that when you talk about negotiations or where the two sides are, I think it can kind of erode the trust between the two sides. But I'll just say that, you know, both sides, I think, have worked really hard, on a deal. Obviously, we would have a deal if we were perfectly aligned right now. But all that said, I'd love to keep Ian here long term. I think for a lot of the things I said about Nico, he's just, you know, great person, you know, works hard every day to get better, represents the organization incredibly well, and is a really good two-way player. So, I hope at some point we get something done. When that might be, I don't know. But, you know, we'll keep working on it, whether it's, you know, quietly in season with no one knowing, or maybe it's after the season. But certainly the fact that we didn't line up now, in my mind at least, does not shut the door on something going forward. Because the same thing I said about Nico,
right?
I'd love to have him here for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, he's coming off an all-star season. So you look at him and probably, hey, I got some leverage here. Let's start talking. On the other hand, from your point of view, you look at your minor league system, it's stocked with outfielders. PCA, I think he was making a circus catch every day during spring training, Jed. You have a lot of minor leaguers at the outfield positions that make you feel good about the future. How much does that factor into whether it's Ian Happ or any contract negotiation?
It always does. I mean, certainly, you know, I'd be lying to say that our focus on, you know, we have very focused on the shortstop market this winter, and then obviously very focused on wrapping up Nico. I mean, certainly we don't feel like we have, you know, guys that are ready to step in from the minor leagues at those positions, and that obviously is something that we factor in. You know, I think, of course, you factor it in. I always try to balance, you know, the excitement that you have on minor league players, and we do have a ton of very talented outfielders, but then also balance that with the knowledge that it's hard to come up and contribute right away, you know. And, you know, when we're in a more of a down cycle where you can give guys a lot more runway, so to speak, to break in, it's a lot easier than, you know, when, you know, we're competing, it's much more difficult. So that is a fine balance you're trying to make between balancing, bringing guys up and allowing them the runway to develop. We're also trying to compete at the same time. And, you know, obviously a player like Ian, for example, I mean, he was a top prospect. He came up, you know, he had his ups and downs and has now established himself. I don't take that career arc for granted, because I think in some ways he's indicative of how hard it can be early on in your career to break in. I mean, look at some of the guys that we had. Schwarber's a good example of that too, that it was not a perfectly linear path to get to the really excellent place he is right now.
Talking with Jed Hoyer, the Cubs team president here on the Mully and Haas Show, right here on The Score. Jed, this has been an active offseason. I think it's been a productive offseason. You invested more than $300 million in free agents, and you look at your roster, you look in your clubhouse, and there's some proven guys there. Pitching and defense is what you definitely have leaned into. That's a good way to build a team that you want to get back into the playoffs. Do you concede? Can you look at this roster, though, and feel like offensively, do you still need a little bit more? Does it need a little bit more pop in that lineup, or do you feel good about the way you'll be able to manufacture runs?
Yeah, you know, when I look at both this team and then where we are going forward, I think that's going to be something that we're going to be heavily focused on is more power, sort of a more explosive offense. I think we'll play really good defense, especially up the middle. I think we'll be a team that does a lot of little things really well. I think we have a number of really good hitters, but I think we could definitely use some more thump in the middle of the lineup. I don't think that's unfair at all. And like I said, I think it's something we'll be focused on a lot over the next few years to go find those kind of players that I feel like, change the way a lineup operates. I think we have a lot of good players, but we don't have, we're lacking a couple of guys in the middle of the lineup that can really change the game. And I think that's something that's, it'll be something that we think about a lot over the next few years.
One of those guys that could help a lot offensively, Seiya Suzuki. Certainly he reported to camp. Jed, he looked jacked. He looked like an NFL cornerback. He was obviously added some bulk and some muscle, and he then had the oblique strain. I wondered a couple of things. Number one, where is he in terms of his return? I saw that he played in a minor league game. You wonder how quickly that means he could return to the Cubs. And secondly, did anything, and this may seem like a dumb question, did anything about his offseason regimen, though, affect, make him more prone to that kind of injury that he suffered early in camp?
Well, I guess going to the second part first, I don't know is the honest answer. He looked amazing when he showed up. He's gotten so strong, was really hitting exceptionally well. I mean, he's sort of the talk of camp early on. That's how hard he was hitting it and how easy he does it. It doesn't look like he's swinging hard at all, and the ball explodes off his bat. that's a good question, whether or not the added bulk led to the oblique injury. I don't think we'll ever know, but certainly it's something that we're trying to address now. I don't think he's lost any bulk during the rehab, but certainly working really hard on mobility stuff to make sure this doesn't happen again that's been the biggest focus. So he's playing defense in minor league games right now just to kind of get his conditioning. He's been running a lot, running bases, throwing a lot. And from a hitting standpoint, he's been taking batting practice on the field for about a week. And I think the next step will be getting in some minor league games in Arizona here, hopefully, probably at the end of the weekend. And then as that goes on, hopefully he can go on a rehab assignment to Tennessee or Iowa pretty soon. So he's not far off. We think he should be active in the not too distant future, but he also missed all of spring training. He literally did this the day before the first game or the day of the first game. So I do think we have to remember that there's the physical part, which is getting healthy, and then there's the timing part, and he missed all of spring, so we need to get him enough at-bats to be ready.
Jed Dansby Swanson is straight out of Central Casting, perfect for the Cubs, perfect for Marquee Sports Network, perfect in the way that he represents your organization. Anybody would want him. You got him. Started slow in spring training. Did you wonder? Did you start to worry? Are you above that yet? And what's realistic to expect from him this season?
So I think you can sort of hold two thoughts in your head. When you watch it, you're like, yeah, I'm not the least bit worried. I've seen this so many times when, guys struggle in spring and then they take off when the season starts. And I've seen the opposite. I would use Jock Peterson as the example of his best player I've ever seen in 2021 spring training, and then started out in April and couldn't buy a hit. So ultimately spring stats really don't matter. But I think just for his mental well-being, I think, playing well at the end, hitting a couple homers at the end, I'm sure helped him. Just everyone wants to succeed a couple of times before they head north. And listen, there's a real weight of expectations when you sign a big contract, and he's well aware of that. But I think you're always thinking that when you sign a guy that you hope that they realize that you're paying them to do exactly what they've done before, not to do something bigger or better or have to put more pressure on themselves. And, I mean, listen, if he plays the way he has the last 3 years, we're going to be thrilled because I think he does so many things well on the field. He's such a great defender, such a good base runner. He's got, you know, real power at the plate, and he's just unbelievable in terms of as a leader and as someone that I just think the way he plays the game should be infectious to the Cubs for a long time. So I'm thrilled that we have him.
Cubs team president Jed Hoyer for a few more moments here on The Score. Okay, Jed, I was surprised Christopher Morel is starting the season in Iowa. I was even more surprised Rowan Wick not on the opening day roster. What went into those decisions to not include those guys?
Sure. Well, in the case of Morel, you know, one of the things we talked about is that he's still a young player. We need him to be getting at bats, and we didn't feel like he'd be getting really regular work. And that was our thought, is let him go down to Iowa, let him kind of get started, play every single day. And then, you know, when we need him and when we need him to play often, I think we'll certainly call on him and we know he's capable. But to have him up here in a role where he's getting really spotty at bats, we didn't think that's not the right thing for not only Christopher for the year, but also really for us. You know, I think that he's not going to play as well as he can if he's doing that. So I think it was the right decision. He's such a wonderful kid. He took it really well. And I think he's going to play for the Cubs a ton this summer. It's just not going to be right away. And then with Rowan Wick, we just felt like he's been really good for us for a long time, but we felt like we had some guys throwing the ball better. And certainly once he sort of gets back to where he normally is, I think he'll be up here as well.
Jed, Luis Torrens is a very interesting addition to the opening day roster. It gives you three catchers, and maybe people saw that one coming. I was a little surprised, but I strengthen numbers. What's behind the decision to keep Torrens on the 26-man roster?
Yeah, well, first of all, he played great this spring. He is versatile. He can play a bunch of different spots, and I think, you know, probably won't use him at those spots unless we have to in game. You know, if it's a kind of a strange game situation, we would use him. But I think he'll be a bat off the bench. Certainly allow Rossi some flexibility to do different things, but. Now, he's a really interesting player from a career arc standpoint, you know, highly regarded prospect, but got Rule 5, and it's amazing how much that does kind of mess up your career arc. And so we just felt like he's a really talented catcher. He's 26 years old, and sometimes catchers develop late. And, you know, we saw enough things in him this spring, and both as a player and as a person, that we certainly didn't want to just let him walk. And if we didn't add him to the roster, he would have gone to another team to be on the 26-man roster. So, you know, some ways that decision was forced, and we certainly did not want to lose him given what we had seen and given how hard it is to find, you know, to find catching and knowing that sometimes catching develops a little bit later.
Before we let you go, we've got a couple more things, but we want to point out Lurie Children's Hospital, ranked number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News and World Report, located in downtown Chicago, 225 East Chicago Avenue. Jed, very near and dear to your heart. Lurie Children's Hospital is something that you feel very strongly about.
It is. I mean, I've been involved with them for, you know, almost 10 years now, and I can't imagine a better organization with more caring doctors and nurses and staff members. And it's a pleasure to sort of give what time I have to them on a volunteer basis and on a, you know, board member basis. And obviously anything people can do to help out is really helpful. Like I said, I can't imagine a better cause, just making sure we can keep the children of this city, you know, as safe and healthy as possible.
We won't keep too much more of your time. Two last questions. Number one, when do you think we'll see Kyle Hendricks? And number two, I know it's not your call. Ninth inning today, Cubs lead by one. Who gets the ball as a closer?
Two good questions. So Kyle looks and feels great right now. He's been throwing a ton. You know, I think he has live batting practices scheduled this weekend or maybe on Monday. So he's getting there, and he's, like I say, he's progressing well and seems to be in great spirits. And you know, I certainly left Arizona feeling really optimistic about his season. So I don't think we'll see him in April, but I think, you know, after that, I think it could certainly happen, and we'll sort of play it, you know, play it by ear and see how he's progressing. But nothing right now indicates that he's not feeling fantastic. And yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, that's up to Rossi, and to a certain extent, he'll he'll use his feel, but yeah, certainly other than the last hiccup on the last day, Fulmer looked great this spring, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him run out there in the ninth.
Enjoy today, Jed. Really appreciate your time. Good luck this season, and we'll be talking with you.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Cubs team president Jed Hoyer joining us here on The Score. A lot to get to. Covered a lot of ground. Jed's always very generous with his time, very candid with some of the things he had to say. What did you think? What did you hear, Cubs fans? 312-644-6767. Call us, text us, let us know. And hey, Sox fans, we haven't forgotten about you. We know you're playing tonight. We know the Sox are playing the Astros during the ring ceremony. We know that Roger Clemens is going to be in the booth. Maybe that ticks you off. Let us know if it does. It's Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I do have really high hopes for the season. I have really high hopes for the organization.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully back tomorrow from his vacation. That was Jed Hoyer. Just had a great interview with Jed. Very generous with his time. Very candid, I think, in his opinions. So, Cub fans, yeah, you can expect to make a run at the playoffs. Why start a season if you don't have that as the goal? Why start this season without that as the goal? The rebuild, yeah, it might be in progress. You're on the way back. But I don't think you should settle for anything less than a season where you are contending for a playoff position. I don't know if that means winning the division. I don't know if that means, you know, sneaking in as the third wild card. Whatever the case may be, if you get to the postseason with this Cub team, I think you're going to be happy. That would meet the expectations, and that's where the bar should be. I was glad to hear Jed Hoyer at least embrace that, not shy away from that, and acknowledge that. You're in Chicago. You spent $300 million on free agents. What do you think he's going to say? What do you think you should expect? Oh, we're going to be 74 and 88. No, not good enough. You got to get to the postseason. You got to at least try. 312-644-6767. What's realistic, Cub fans? What do you think today as you're heading to Wrigley Field, as you're getting done at work so you can quit early and watch the Cubs, or listen to them, more likely, 12:45 right here on The Score. Zach Zaidman with the pregame from Sluggers. He'll be out there. The Bernstein and Holmes show with Layla Rahimi out there at 10 o'clock. Stop by Sluggers at MGM and The Score teaming up to celebrate opening day. That's today. The best day of the year. Kids, stay home. No, ask your parents before you stay home. The ballpark should be busy. Classrooms should be empty. They should make this a national holiday. It's opening day. Sox fans, we're going to be there for you as well. Steve Stone coming up at 9 o'clock. What do you think about your season? What do you think about your team? Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez. The Astros are giving out World Series rings tonight. That's going to be hard to watch because you know who's going to be in an Astros uniform? He's not going to get a ring, but he's going to try to help them win another one. Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu is going to be at first base when Framber Valdez takes the mound at Minute Maid Park. Jose Abreu in a White Sox, in an Astros uniform, makes the White Sox general manager, Rick Hahn, boy, it made him feel kind of silly.
You know, been like seeing Jordan in a Wizards uniform. That still looks weird to me to this day. So it's going to look weird.
Weird, not silly. Silly was what he said in comparing him to Michael Jordan. That's silly. I don't think that was necessarily the comparison you're looking for. There's one guy who won six championships. I get it. It was the first thing in set. It still looks odd seeing Jordan in a Wizards jersey. Yes, but a little bit of an exaggeration. So let's go down real quickly what Jed Hoyer did have to say in terms of what he confirmed about what we know and what we think we know. Kyle Hendricks, looking good, on the way. No big red flags yet, but it's going to be a little while. I heard probably May-ish. Dustin, is that a good estimate? Did you hear from
I heard May-ish as well.
May-ish. The thing about Kyle Hendricks coming back is that two things can be true. Yeah, you want him back. He's the last remaining survivor from the 2016 World Series Cubs. Does he get extra security because of that designation? Does he have like an extra security detail? Hey, you got to protect this guy. He's the link to the past. Him coming back, you don't feel like it's such a hurry if, and everything today is predicated on if the Cubs rotation holds up as well as it looked in Arizona. That's a rotation that I think that could be sneaky good. Stroman today, the Stro Show, that's going to be worth watching, I think, earlier this year than it was last year. You got to be optimistic on opening day. I like Marcus Stroman as the de facto ace of this staff. Jameson Taillon, to me, is dependable. He's a guy that you feel pretty good about. You look at the back of his baseball card. Yeah, we can live with that. He's expensive free agent. I don't think he's going to feel the pressure. If he stays healthy, I think he's dependable. I like him. Justin Steele is a guy. I know Grody and I had a bit of a disagreement earlier in the week when he was sitting in for Mully. I am big on Justin Steele. I think he could be one of the more promising young left-handers in the National League. I like him in the three spot. Drew Smyly, I know he was not pitching for anything last year in the second half, but Drew Smyly had a really productive September and a good second half of the season. And with this defense, Drew Smyly could be a really effective pitcher in the fourth spot. Or maybe the fourth pitcher and the fourth starter, or maybe Hayden Wesneski is even better than that, but he's your number five. And he's your number five because he won the job in spring training. He came to Arizona after having a pretty promising debut for the Cubs last year, and he was given a chance to win the job, and he did. He seized the opportunity. I like 1-5 for the Cubs. So where does Kyle Hendricks fit? What a nice problem to have. What a great question that would be to ponder. Oh, boy, it's May 15th. The Cubs are in second place, and the pitching is so good, we can't find a spot for Kyle Hendricks. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You don't have to worry about problems that aren't there yet. Don't make a decision before you have to. That's an adage in sports life. Don't make a big decision before you have to. Kyle Hendricks isn't here yet. He's on his way. Hoyer sounded optimistic. When he gets here, then we'll decide. Okay, Sox. We're getting a lot of text pushback. Talk some Sox. What about the Sox? Okay, we had Jed. We had Coombe. We were talking Cubs. The game is first. It's in town. It's on this station. We're the flagship, okay? White Sox fans, we'll talk about you. We'll get to you. Do you really want to after last year? Yeah, you do. White Sox rotation. Let's compare those rotations because I think it's interesting. We got in a debate the other day. Which one would you rather have? I think, Dustin, you weren't here for that, but if the White Sox stay healthy, there's no dispute. They're more proven. 1-5. That is a rotation that if they each make 25 starts, chances are that's a good sign that they're going to be in the thick of the divisional race. I just don't know if they're each going to make 25 starts. I have very little confidence in Michael Kopech doing that. Right now, his spring has been one that has reinforced the doubt and skepticism that people have about Michael Kopech. The pitch clock is going to make him, he's going to be a mess. I just can envision him sweating mayonnaise, as you say, Dustin. He's going to be like, oh, my gosh, 8, 7, 6, 5. I got to throw a fastball. Oh, hey, that was a slider. Or was it a curve? I think he's going to be a mess.
As it becomes real, when these rules go into effect and they really mean something, which they will starting today, I do find it wildly interesting to see how these guys respond. I totally agree with you.
So Kopech is a question mark. Clevinger stunk in spring training. And this has nothing to do, okay, we can talk just baseball with Michael Clevinger. I'm not even going to get to that other stuff. I'm not going to point out just how much people didn't mind seeing him struggle the other day against the Cubs. That's beside the point. From a baseball perspective, he didn't really have it in spring training. Not yet. He might. Lucas Giolito. Which Lucas Giolito are you going to get? Lucas Giolito has shed a lot of weight. I like what I've seen. He looks fluid. He looks better. He looks like Lucas Giolito. Last year, he looked like the WWE version of Lucas Giolito. A little beefed up. He had a little Seiya Suzuki regimen. A little too much for a pitcher, if you ask me. I'm looking forward to this version of Lucas Giolito. And then the guys at the top, Lance Lynn, stay healthy. I love everything about Lance Lynn. He's a Hoosier. I give him the benefit of the doubt. I love the way he cusses on the mound even at the end of a strikeout. I love the way he fires up his catcher and everybody else on the dugout. I love everything about Lance Lynn, the competitor. He's like Carlos Rodon in that regard, because I love the way Rodon attacked people and attacked hitters. And Lance Lynn is the closest thing to a leader that you see there. And on a team that now has a leadership void, you want that. I just hope he stays healthy. And Dylan Cease is the best pitcher in town, hands down. No doubt about it. He is going to have the kind of season that we're going to be gathered around our television sets in November or whenever the heck MLB gives out their postseason awards. They go into December the next year probably. And Dylan Cease is going to be up for a Cy Young Award again. He's going to have that kind of year. He's that kind of pitcher. He's that easy to project, in my view. So if the Sox stay healthy, they've got the better rotation. I just don't know if they can. Hope they do, but you can't blame me for being a little skeptical about the White Sox health. Goodness sakes. Score listening line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hello, Ron. Happy opening day. How you doing, buddy?
Happy opening day, David. Here we go. And you hit on exactly what I was thinking about. I know when the manager said that the pitching can be the strength, Michael Kopech, I know it just spring training, but he struggled trying to come up with a second and third pitch. But really looking forward to watching the left fielder. But you know what though, David? The bottom line: this team is going to go as far as the core players, Grandal, Luis Robert Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kim,
yep,
and Yoan Moncada, the one when they were
and Aloy, Ron
making the run. You're right. When they were talking about multiple championships, when Rick Hahn talked about that, it was these core players, and he's added some players here and there, but until the end, until they show that they can be healthy. And it seems like this is the same conversation that we've had with this team. So, but it's opening day. So what you can't do anything but be optimistic. But the most important thing, I'd just be looking forward to talking to you all about baseball, particularly the White Sox, for these next few months, Dave. So always a pleasure. Have a good day.
Love it, Ron. Welcome back to the conversation. I think it's going to be a fun one for a while for the White Sox. I hope it's a fun one all season long. Look, nobody wants to go through that again. And nobody wants to be triggered by the sight of somebody grabbing their hamstring on the running hard down to first base, or worse to me, or just as bad, jogging down to first base. I want to see the White Sox tonight. What do you want to see tonight, Sox fans? 312-644-6767. I'll tell you what I want to see. It's old-fashioned. It's dated. It's even a little corny. I want to see the White Sox hustle. I want to see them run down the first base. Respect 90, not 75. I want them to show some evidence of Pedro Grifol's imprint. I want them to show me that they know how and understand the intensity of baseball, that it's not just one of these sports you sit back and wait for something to happen. Not any longer. You got a pitch clock. You got stolen bases to be stolen. You've got all of this stuff. Be better. Hit the cutoff man. Move the runners along. Manufacture runs, pitch, play defense, run the bases, show some evidence of managing. Do the things that are the minimal things that every baseball team should do, and let your talent do the rest. Because talent-wise, on paper, this White Sox team is the best in the division. Problem is, it's tissue paper. Fragile. And that's the problem. Not talent. It's health. 312-644-6767. We'll talk Cubs. We'll talk Sox. We'll talk MLB rules changes. When we get back, it's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Yeah, I'm back in good energy, back in good spirit. I'm back enjoying the game. I'm back enjoying life. I've been through a lot, but, you know, I'm just happy and, you know, blessed with the opportunity to be here to continue to keep playing.
You understand that has value to the clubhouse and this team, too, that you are?
Yeah, I understand that. So that's why, you know, I work so hard to, you know, try to be the same person every day to provide for this ball club.
Welcome back. It's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, T.A. is back. That's Tim Anderson. The mojo is back. He sounds like Tim Anderson. He looks like Tim Anderson. If you watch the World Baseball Classic, he played like Tim Anderson. If Tim Anderson is indeed back, White Sox are in business. Him playing 79 games last year was as responsible for anything else that happened as anything that happened. Tim Anderson is the straw that stirs this drink. He is the catalyst in the clubhouse, on the field, at the top of the batting order. Ozzie Guillen had an interesting point yesterday, Dustin. You weren't here, but he said, hey, what if T.A. batted fifth? Imagine how many runs he would drive in. I love Ozzie. Ozzie has a World Series ring as a manager. I do not. But I don't like that idea. As the more I thought about it, I don't like that idea.
And I'm sure you followed up that who's batting leadoff then.
Well, he was kind of...
I mean, Luis Robert? I mean,
no. Well, Luis Robert could. Benintendi could. There are other options beyond that. I don't know how good they are. But his point was that it's only, number one, the leadoff thing is overrated, which I would argue now with the return of the stolen base, it might be even more accentuated. It might be even more emphasized. But his point was, Tim hits for average. He's going to be spraying the ball to the gaps. He's going to drive in a ton of runs if you put him fifth. I just don't know if there's a better alternative at leadoff. I think he's so good at that. Don't change it. It's not broken. Don't try to fix it, especially if he's healthy.
Unless he's asked to get out of that spot, because again, it seems like everybody's really worried about his mindset and they want a happy Tim Anderson. So if Tim Anderson doesn't want to bat leadoff, then maybe you got to listen.
I can't imagine why he wouldn't.
No, you want, I would think Tim Anderson wants to bat leadoff. I think Tim Anderson wants to be known as how the Sox go is how I go. I think he wants that. Not that he doesn't want to drive in runs, but I think there's plenty of guys in that lineup that can make contact, that can push guys around the base pass. But I'm not sure there's a lot of guys on that team that can handle the pressure.
No.
I do believe there's pressure in bat leadoff.
No doubt about it. But Tim Anderson sounds like a guy who's now, again, able to handle it, willing to embrace it. And that's a good sign. When he is at his best, he's batting leadoff and he's playing shortstop. We talked about the second base possibility. He did it for his country. Why not do it for the White Sox? No, he's a shortstop. He wants to play there. He wants to be there. Put him there. Okay, a couple other things about the White Sox I think are interesting and worth pointing out as we get ready to welcome them back and see them against the Astros tonight down in Houston. Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez on the mound as the pitching matchups go. I think that it's not insignificant, and we have talked about this. Lurie Garcia is not on this roster opening day. They're going to announce it later officially, but there's no indication that he's on this roster. It's been reported he's done. The Sox are eating that contract. Rick Hahn talked about how that shows Jerry Reinsdorf remains competitive. Now, that's a debate for another day. But Lurie Garcia not being on this roster is one significant way that this team will be different, could be different under Pedro Grifol. You know who is on this roster? Oscar Colas, the right fielder, the rookie, Cuban Otani, as they used to call him. He's going to have a heck of a year. He could be up for rookie of the year. Don't be shocked. You heard it today. March 30th, opening day. I'm predicting Oscar Colas will be in the running for Rookie of the Year. I'm over my skis a little bit. That's okay. Romy Gonzalez is on this roster. He's the super utility guy. He's the guy that had apparently a great batting practice down at Minute Maid Park yesterday, hitting balls left and right out of the park. He could be your opening day right fielder because of the matchup against Valdez. He's on this roster. Gregory Santos, the fireballing right-hander, is on this roster. And you look at his bullpen performance and what he brings to the White Sox, that's interesting because you don't know what he has. He's raw, untapped potential, but he could be lights out in the back end of that bullpen. You never know because they're looking for candidates. They have their own committee until Liam Hendricks returns. And we got good news on Liam Hendricks yesterday. The Sox will keep him off the 60-day injured list because he's making progress in his recovery from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Great news surrounding, encouraging news surrounding Liam Hendricks. But here's the guy that I think it says, as much as anything, the White Sox are in Pedro Grifol's capable hands. I think it's about production. It's about guys who come to camp and win jobs. And that's exactly what Hanser Alberto did. He won a job. If he's not on this opening day roster, then we have misread every clue. And we've gotten every report wrong. Hanser Alberto, in 16 spring training games, he's 30 years old, okay? He hit .439, OBP of .477, OPS .1258. And Hanser Alberto, who is this guy? That's exactly what I said when Chuck Garfine at the beginning of camp, a week in, I think, said, you got to keep your eye on Hanser Alberto. And we're like, Chuck, you've been in the sun too long. Who? Hanser Alberto is going to make this team because production matters. And Pedro Grifol is going to reward guys who produce, guys who pay attention, guys who hustle, guys who do the little things. That, to me, is as big of a factor in the White Sox success this season. Can they do the little things? They didn't do it a year ago, and we saw what happened. They were the dumbest team in baseball, certainly among the most disappointing. And now, here they are. Beginning of season, the early season schedule is tough. How they, again, you cannot win a pennant or a division or a playoff spot in April. Maybe you can lose it. Maybe you can lose it. A great man once told me that. His name was Steve Stone. Steve Stone's our next guest. That's great. We could ask him. Stoney, here on the Mullion Haw Show. Join us next. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.